Welcome to today's deep dive. So imagine signing this like ironclad legal prenup before you've even been asked on a first date.
Right, like you haven't even had coffee yet.
Exactly. You haven't had a cup of coffee, but you're already passing binding resolutions on how to divide your assets. Just in case.
Yeah, which is pretty wild to think about.
All right. Well, in September of 1997, that is exactly the kind of preemptive legal maneuvering South Africa executed.
And that was just for the chance to bid on the 2004 Olympic Games.
Yes, the 28th Olympiad. So today we're opening up a single, really revealing document from the Republic of South Africa Government Gazette.
The South African Olympic Hosting Act of 1997.
That's the one. And our mission here is to uncover the massive, unseen legal scaffolding a country actually has to construct, you know, behind closed doors just to court a mega event.
Because, I mean, when you look at the mechanics of this legislation,
yeah,
it is so much more than just a formal letter of interest.
Right. Passing a national law is a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. It fundamentally rearranges government power. The act centers around something called the covenant.
The covenant. That sounds really intense.
It really does. And it's not just some unified mission statement. It is a legally binding pledge tying together the national government, the Western Cape Province, the city of Cape Town, and local authorities.
Okay, so literally everyone is on the hook.
Exactly. By passing this, they all officially align to respect the Olympic Charter and, you know, meet the stringent requirements of the International Olympic Committee, the IOC.
But wait, here's where it gets really interesting to me. Because if you look closely at Section 2 of this Act, Cape Town is legally authorized to fulfill any obligation imposed on it by the IOC.
Yeah, any obligation. It's broad.
That moves way past a simple prenup analogy. I mean, is a sovereign nation effectively just writing a blank legislative check to a private international sports committee?
What's fascinating here is that that is exactly the power dynamic at play. And the Act doesn't even hide it.
Really? They just spell it out.
Oh, yeah. In the preamble, the law explicitly recognizes the supreme authority of the IOC in all matters related to Olympic sport.
Supreme authority. Wow.
Right. The national legislature is formally putting on the books that this outside NGO has the final say.
Which raises a huge logistical question for me. Like, how does a national government actually force a local municipality to just surrender its autonomy like that?
Well, they have to get creative with the law.
Because let's say Cape Town suddenly decides a proposed stadium is too expensive or, you know, local residents protest a new transit line.
Which happens all the time with these bids.
Exactly. So what legal mechanism stops the city from just backing out?
That is where the genius and really the sheer force of this act comes in. It utilizes a concept called cooperative government.
Cooperative government. Okay, what is that?
So the law mandates that every involved organ of state, which basically covers the government machinery at every single level, must conduct its affairs based on this principle.
So what does that mean in plain English?
It means the national government was legally stripping away local red tape.
Oh, wow. I see.
Yeah, a local Cape Town politician could not use a zoning dispute or a budget argument, or like local environmental concerns to stall the bid.
They couldn't fight it at all.
Right. The entire state apparatus was legally forced to fall in line and support the project without any bureaucratic infighting.
So they effectively neutralized their own local politics.
Pretty much.
They built this legislative fast track that just bypassed normal democratic friction, all to prove to the IOC that they wouldn't get in their own way.
Exactly.
But, you know, altering the DNA of how your government operates for a sports tournament that might not even happen, how do you possibly justify that to the citizens?
Well, you tie it directly to national identity and the greater good.
Yeah.
The legislation leans heavily into the spirit of Olympism.
The spirit of Olympism.
Right. The text declares that hosting the games will contribute directly to the welfare of the people of South Africa and even the entire African continent.
Okay, so they framed this massive surrender of local authority not as a loss of power, but as a unifying, necessary sacrifice.
Yes, for a really aspirational goal. It legally transforms submission into a point of national pride.
You know, when you look at it that way, it completely changes the lens through which you view these global bidding wars.
It really does.
Because we usually get caught up in the flashy stadium renders, the celebrity endorsements, you know, the emotional speeches.
Oh, definitely. The PR side of it is huge.
Right. But underneath all that PR, sovereign nations are quietly hardwiring their own legal systems and silencing local jurisdictions.
Just to accommodate the demands of a private organization.
Exactly.
The real heavy lifting isn't happening in the sports arenas. It's happening in government gazettes and parliamentary chambers long before the athletes even begin their training cycles.
Which leaves you with a really lingering question.
For sure.
If a simple sporting bid requires a nation to preemptively legislate a surrender of local authority just to get a foot in the door, what other massive global entertainment and corporate events are silently rewriting national laws behind the scenes long before you ever tune in to watch?